we met on the Silt Radio birthday get together, as it were. You know, the was it the chamber that we met?
The Chamber of Commerce, correct? Yeah.
Remember that? That was the day I did the quiz.
The quiz, yeah. The music quiz.
How'd you get on with that, by the way?
Not great. I blame my partner.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. So, let's talk about you first of all. So, a little bit of background. I know you're a Wilmslow boy.
Correct.
So,
yeah.
Where did life?
So
begin for
yeah,
you,
life. Cooking school. Left home at 16. Oh, yeah, 15. Come 16. Went down just outside in Surrey to Gordon Ramsay's cooking school. So spent a year there, and it's called Tart Marie. Left there and then went to a restaurant called The Artichoke, which received a Michelin star 3 years ago. When I was there, we were pushing for Michelin star. We didn't have it at the time. I stayed there about 3.5 years. I met my partner, Gail, who works with me. We worked together at Le Popot. She was going back to France because she's from Paris. So I rejoined her in Paris. We stayed nearly 9 years back in Paris. My plan was always to open my own restaurant, especially back home, you know, in the local area, Cheshire area sort of thing. I always thought that it was dying out for, you know, a good quality restaurant. There's a lot of restaurants, but I thought, you know, a good quality restaurant, something different, family run, something like that. And we took over La Popa in 2019, so October, so a COVID baby.
Oh, before we get on to Le Popet, I'll reverse a little bit.
Yep.
So you went to the Gordon Ramsay School or something?
Correct, yeah. Okay. So yeah, it's called Tart Marie. Tart Marie is one of the oldest cooking schools in the UK. I think it's something maybe 100 years old. You know, it's my grandma went to Tart Marie. But it's a cooking school where you can go as a professional or you could go as general public and go for 1 day and learn how to make a cake.
Oh, really?
It's a bit of everything. Oh, wow. Very, very small school, private school, but it's, you know, in an old Tudor house. That's how small it was. We had, I think, 12 people in our class. So you had the yearly class, then you had the intensive class, which was 6 months. And then, like I say, the people wanted to do a week course or literally just a day course.
Oh, wow. Well, did you meet him?
I did, actually, yeah.
Please tell me he's as angry as
I can't say I've met him. I shook his hand, you know, but, I met him for about 2 minutes as he was leaving sort of thing.
Oh, was he not angry? Did he not swear?
No, he didn't swear at me.
Oh!
Unfortunately, he might have done.
Right, so Le Popet. So the history behind Le Popet you just briefly mentioned there.
Yeah.
But it's a Michelin awarded.
So, yeah.
So how does all this work then? Because I don't know.
So different things with the Michelin guide, how it works is you've got, everybody knows the Michelin stars.
Yeah.
So you've got your 1, 2, 3 Michelin stars. And then you've also got the Michelin guide.
Yes.
So which basically is Michelin's recommendations.
Yeah.
You're not eligible. You know, they don't give you a star because they don't think you're in the criteria for the 1-star, 2-star, 3-star. It's not a bad thing, but they're still recommending you to be in their guide. You know, you might be missing this, that, you know, little bits and bobs for you to get to the Michelin star, but just to be mentioned in the guide, you know, for us is great, because we look at it as we're getting recognition from, you know, one of the biggest, most well-known guides in the world sort of thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's nice, for hard work pays off sort of thing.
So do you have to do, you just mentioned there, you might be missing something to get the stars or whatever. Do you know?
It could be anything, you know.
Could it be something really simple?
It could be something really simple.
Right.
It could be something. I've eaten in a lot of Michelin star restaurants in the world, and it's quite interesting because you could go to one Michelin star restaurant where there's 25 covers and you've got literally one server for two people.
Yeah.
You know, it's ridiculous. And then we've been into other places that the service is, you know, two people running 40 cover restaurant.
Yeah.
But the food's just top quality food.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it all depends what Michelin's criteria is for it. It's a completely different ballgame. You know,
I've never been to a Michelin star restaurant. Maybe I have, and I wouldn't know. I take it I would know if I'd been there.
Yeah. I don't know if you'd enjoy it, though.
Oh, right. Okay.
It's all personal preference at the end of the day.
So what do you expect from a Michelin star restaurant, then?
You know, there's the thing about Michelin star restaurants, smaller plates, bigger price tag. You know, a lot of Michelin star restaurants nowadays is just set tasting menus.
Oh, okay.
So you'll go, you know, you'll have 10 to 15 course set tasting menu, and that's all you get. You don't get a choice. You might get a choice of the main course between two different meats, but apart from that, a lot of people are just doing a set tasting menu.
Oh, right. Okay.
But like Michelin's criteria, there's always a rule in the book. We, you know, I don't know if it's true, but 1 star is all about the food. 2 star is all about food and service. And 3 star is literally A to Z, food, service, decoration, you know, you name it. It's 3 stars, like, you know, it's 5-star hotel.
So tell us a bit about Le Popat then. So where you're based.
Yeah,
and
Le Popat, we're based up in Marton, which is between Congleton and Audley Edge. You know, we're literally 5 minutes up the road from Capeson Hall. We're on the old A34. I think a lot of people probably know it because they probably drive past it quite often.
Are you as far up as Monkseath? Crossroads.
So no, we're back towards Congleton.
Back towards, right, okay. Yeah.
So we're in the village, which is, you've got Davenport Arms.
Yes.
We're dead opposite of Davenport Arms.
All right, yeah, gotcha.
So you've got Davenport Arms, then you've got us, you've got a coffee shop next door, you've got dog grooming, you know, we're a little community. But Marton, I think there's 500 people live in Marton. It's a tiny little village. You can drive through it without even realising you've probably been into Marton, sort of thing.
Yeah.
We're 5 minutes from Congleton.
Fantastic.
But we're in a perfect location where you've got to drive to us, but we're in the middle of everybody.
You know,
we've got Congleton, we've got Wimsey, we've got Macclesfield. You know, everybody's within, you know, local 10-minute drive, 15-minute drive sort of thing.
So what's the dining experience like at Le Popat? I know you're going to say it's absolutely out of this world. It's your baby. But for somebody who's never been,
been, come and join us.
Yeah.
No, we just try to do something different. So we're a small team. It's me and Gail. So I run the kitchen. Gail runs the front of the house. And then we've got GP and Liam in the front, who run the service with Gail. You've got James and Elliot in the kitchen, who run the kitchen with myself. We're a family-run restaurant, you know, and what I like about that, different to chain restaurants, is we chop and change every day if we need be. You know, we don't, nothing's set in our restaurant. Okay, we've got the a la carte menu, but because the a la carte's 4 to 6 weeks, we change it. If we can't get hold of a product, we'll change the menu, you know, the next day sort of thing, because all our food is all seasonal orientated. We do a menu of the week, which is a weekly menu, which is like our equivalent of a lunch menu, but we don't say lunch menu because it's available Thursday evening. So that's 2 courses, £22, 3 courses, £28, and 5 courses for £35. So it's all, you know, there's a variation of different things. We class ourselves as casual fine dining. You know, that's it. We've still got tablecloths, which might put people off and think, oh, tablecloths, expensive. Don't let that put you off. And the other thing we've got in the summertime is we call it a secret garden, because when you arrive to the building, you've got this beautiful, you know, barn, and when you go in it, we've got a stunning, you know, we can get 30 covers in the garden.
Oh wow.
So we've got a couple of lounges, and you know, we can do between 25 to 30 people sat in the garden. And then in the winter, we've got the fireplace, so we call it like two restaurants. You've got the winter restaurant with the fireplace, and you've got the summer restaurant with the garden.
So what's on your menu at the moment then? So if I was to come this weekend, what are you going to feed me?
So this weekend, starters. So we've just gone, obviously we're in summer, so we're in the tomato season. So we've just put on a heritage tomato gazpacho with, we've got Cornish octopus with smoked yoghurt. That's a starter.
Wow.
So it's a bit different. We've got British asparagus. Again, Cornish crab on the menu. We've got some French quail that we do with a fennel salad. And then we've got a gnocchi dish, which is with mimolette. And mimolette's a French cheese that comes from Lille. Our equivalent in England is like Red Leicester.
Yeah.
So it's a yellow cheese. So we do, you know, crispy gnocchi, but we put like nice cheesy sauce on it with crispy sage. You know, nice intense flavour sort of thing. And then main courses, we've got a beautiful salted duck breast. So these are, you know, ducks that are, you know, the breasts are 400 grams each. So they're massive. They are put into salt chambers for up to 4 to 7 days, which reduces all the moisture. And then it also firms them up and gives it the salty side. So this has just come on. And then going back to all the seasonal produce, we're using the broad beans, we've got the peas, wild asparagus, purple asparagus, green asparagus, white asparagus, you name it, it's all in season.
I've not had any dinner yet, and I've got nothing to wipe the drool up from the beard, but it sounds really, really tasty. If people want to know more about Le Popat, by the way, before we go on to the next thing I want to talk about, how can people contact you?
So Le Popat, just go to Google, you know, type in Le Popat, Yeah. You know, you find us via our website.
People are going to go, how do you spell that?
So it's not as complicated as it sounds. So it's L-A space P-O-P-O-T-E.
Right, yeah.
Find us on social media or by
just telephone. Just below this podcast, by the way, on our website that you're streaming this on, there's a link to said venue, La Popette. Am I saying it? La Popette?
La Popote. Well, the problem is, speak to Gail, who's French. She'll probably tell you a completely different way to tell it. So, just go off La Popote.
Yeah, La Popote. The one thing I want to talk to you about is, now you've probably gathered from our conversation before we recorded this, I'm a normal working class guy, that I like my takeaways at the weekend, I like a beer at the weekend. My idea of a really nice restaurant from a working class point of view, from my end, is just, I don't know, a chippy tea or... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, it would put me off a little bit to go, hang on, this is a bit posh for me. What would you say to somebody like me then?
You know, we've had this cliche since we bought the restaurant. You know, we're a young team. We had a lot of stick when we took over the restaurant. We're too young to run a business. We don't know what we're doing, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, but... like I said to you before, don't let the casual fine dining put you off. Mm. Definitely don't let the tablecloths put you off. Just come for a night out and enjoy yourself. You know, there's no dress code. We're not strict. And so,
oh, right.
You know, you need to
turn up in suit. When you mention Michelin style or Michelin recommended or whatever, you think, oh, you've got to be suited and booted.
The problem with this Michelin guide, for us, is great.
Yeah.
Because it's fantastic to be recommended by the... But we didn't ask to be in the guide.
Right, yeah.
So don't let the Michelin thing put you off.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean, you know, two courses for £22, Thursday, Friday, Saturday lunch or Thursday evening. You're still getting the same service. You're still getting the same table. Nothing changes. It's still the same produce. So I wouldn't let that put you off. I always say, just come and give us a try, really.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to bring my other half down. And I'm going to say to her, I'm going to take you to a Michelin recommended,
exactly,
Michelin guide place. Really, really top notch.
Yeah.
And we're going to go and enjoy that. And then I'm just going to surprise her.
We don't do fish and chips, though, don't worry.
Do you do mashed potato?
Sometimes.
Oh! On the night that we come,
I'll
will you do mashed potato?
Mash.
Let's talk about you as a chef, anyway.
Yep.
So when did your love of food happen?
My mum and dad, probably. My dad used to cook a lot.
Just at home?
Yeah, at home.
All right.
Nothing, you know, nothing major. My dad cooked a lot and my mum baked a lot. So it was that. I always liked it in school. It was something I thought I was quite good at. I got told by my teacher to give up on it and never do
really?
It.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, the teacher told Robbie Williams he wouldn't make anything of his life. Look at him now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So live your dream and do what you want to do, right? It was something I always enjoyed. School I didn't really enjoy, but there were some things in school I did enjoy. Cooking as well. Anything practical, you know, cooking, sport, anything like that. Anything, you know, theory side, I just didn't enjoy. It's just not me sort of thing.
What's your favourite thing to cook then? What's your signature dish?
We don't have a signature dish because, like I say, the menu's always changing.
Yeah.
There is one dish that, it's not a dish, but we always keep on is we do a ribeye for two people. So it's a black Angus ribeye for two. We sous vide it and pan fry it. The garnish changes seasonal. So at the minute, we are doing it with an onion and thyme puree with smoked gnocchi, so gnocchi and mushrooms that we smoke in hay. And then we finish in a miso butter just to give it something different. We serve, and then basically you get your two plates, you get your sliced beef goes in the middle of the table with your sauce and you sort of help yourself. It's sort of like family cooked meal where everybody helps himself, but you know, it's just something more, no, to describe it, just more fun. You know, we also do a turbot for two. So instead of getting your plate of food, you get two empty plates, you'll get everything served in a pan. So you get a nice piece of turbot. We do a vadivon sauce, which is curry based sauce with fresh morels, mushrooms, potatoes. You name it, all inside, and everything literally comes to you, and you help yourself.
Oh, fantastic.
So, yeah. We can fillet it at the table if need be, but don't tell.
So, Joe, tell us about the sports passion in you, because I was reading up the press release about yourself, and it strikes me. And when you think of people who work with food, you expect them to look like me. Gordon Ramsay's not a big chap,
but
he looks after himself. You know, but what is it with... you chefs and you specifically, is that a thing that you want to go down like you like your sport to keep the to keep yourself healthy and in training?
Yeah, it's, well, obviously health is one side of things.
Aren't you testing food all the time? Yeah. So you're always having a nibble of this, nibble of that.
Yeah. yeah, obviously, big part of it's to keep healthy.
Right, yeah.
But I think biggest my is for the mindset.
Oh, okay.
Just to get out of the kitchen, you know, it's hot kitchen, you know, yeah. it's stressful, you know, it's everything going on, just to get out and some change the air, basically.
Yeah.
And that's why, especially in the summer, I try and play as much golf as possible. So yeah, golf's a big part of it. Obviously, I'm not a big fan in the winter when it's raining and stuff like that. We do a five-a-side football with the boys from work on a Tuesday night. Literally just to change air sort of thing.
Yeah.
I used to play a lot of cricket. So basically we've got coming up, you probably read in the press release that, we've done a sponsorship for Asprey Golf Club.
Yes.
For their Men and Ladies Day. And then we're also doing a sponsorship for the Presbury Cricket Club. I'd never actually been to Presbury Cricket Club before, because I used to play at Audley Edge. And I got invited to go the other day. It's the most picturesque place I've ever seen in my life.
Good job. This is pre-recorded. I'll
edit
that
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, yeah. And I've never been up there before, but it's literally, it's between the Lee Arms and Rodney. It's,
yeah.
it's up a dirt track. I don't know if you've ever been up
there. No, never been there.
Stunning.
Like, I do know that particular golf course that you're talking about. Is that the golf
Asprey.
Club?
No, this is cricket club.
Oh, sorry, yeah. Does Freddie Flintoff frequent there? Am I right?
Maybe. Or it might be Audley Edge. They're either Audley or Presbury. Probably more
There's
Audley.
A cricket ground or cricket place around Cheshire where Freddie goes, and I think Paddy goes as well. And
probably going to be Audley then.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, okay.
Stunning. They're doing an event on the Sunday the 2nd of July. It's the Presbury Sixers. So everybody in the local area puts a team together. I think they've got the football club joining. I think the local garages. Everybody's putting their team together.
The football club going.
Yeah.
So they've got to try and kick the ball.
It's going to be an interesting day out. So we're going to be doing some food for them.
Yeah.
We're just going to be doing a barbecue and stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
Just something different, you know, help out the community.
This is a family event, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All so right, anybody can come down. I'd just literally come down and just look at the cricket club. It's stunning.
Oh.
It's yeah, beautiful. It's literally, like I say, at the top of the dirt track between the bridge and the Lee Arms and the Rodney. And it's literally like you're in the wild. You know, it's big trees and stuff like that. So it's
so you're an active sports person yourself then. Now, when you've been, like you've just said, and especially this climate at the moment, when you've been in a hot kitchen most of the time, and then do you ever get home and go, I can't be bothered to do all that sports stuff later? Do you ever have them moments?
Yeah. Say we get home, I live upstairs from the restaurant, so I've not got...
Okay, right.
I've not got a long commute. I think it's anybody in life, it's just motivation.
Yeah.
You know, we wake up in the morning like, I can't be bothered to do this.
Yeah.
But once we've done it, we're really happy we did it sort of thing.
Yeah.
And if we didn't do it, we regret
not doing
it.
So you strive for that end feeling instead of...
Yeah, I go out to play golf. We book a tea time every Wednesday at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
So it gives me something to look forward to. Look, if I've just had a little baby girl. She's one now. Bless. So obviously life changed a lot.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Life's changed a lot. So, but, you know, we've got a tea time booked at 9 o'clock. It gives me something to look forward to. If I'm busy with family or with work, you know, obviously it'll take priority. But it gives me, you know, just to get out for 4 or 5 hours in the morning sort of thing.
Oh, fantastic. Well, listen, thank you very much for talking to us.
Thank you very much.
A nice delve into your life and your background. Local boy from Wilmslow. So, as you say, you call Asprey now home, don't you? Is it Asprey?
Asprey. Not Asprey's home. Mottram's home.
Mottram's home. Yeah. Right, yeah.
For the time being.
Yeah.
And then potentially looking at joining Asprey.
Oh,
but, yeah, we're doing the competition for them at the end of the year, so it should be good.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much for talking to us. If people want to visit La Poppet, said it right?
Correct.
You can find the description and all the details and the link in this podcast in the link below. Joe, thank you very much for talking to
us.
Thank
you very much.
And when you get that Michelin star, will you come back and talk to us then? Or will you be on the telly by then? Reinventing Can't Cook, Won't Cook or something on telly.
Can I have one last thing?
Yeah.
I don't know if you're going to... It depends how you guys want to do it. Tim's done a podcast.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense for you guys?
Yeah.
So Can we add the link at the bottom?
Of course you can.
Is that right? So if I tell you and then you say we're going to add the link as well.
Yeah.
Because it's like 45 minutes long about the kitchen.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah. Let me just add this on to the end of it then. Also, if you want to know more about the workings of La Popette's kitchen and a Michelin recommended kitchen, then Tim Taylor has done a podcast, which the link is also below here on this podcast feed. Have a listen to that podcast. Joe, that podcast, what that is all about? Is it all about how the kitchen works?
Yeah, so it's Tim Taylor's People of Performance podcast.
Yeah.
It's obviously a lot to do with the Michelin Guide, but obviously a lot to the daily runnings of the kitchen, the daily running of the restaurant.
Yeah.
The overall guide of us, basically. But yeah, no, it's a great listen. I'd definitely recommend it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.